totally cool designer, chipped in the girl with the butterfly clips. You know they give you designer stuff free when you're a movie star? I can always flog Varvedo's wallet, agreed the redhead mugger. Not that I'd steal and sell anything belonging to anyone on this platform, especially not you guys. He shot Alec a look that bordered on hero worship. I didn't know gay dudes could fight like that. Like, no offense, it was badass. You have been taught two important lessons about tolerance and honesty, Magnus informed him severely. And you still have all your fingers, after trying to mug me on a first date, so this was the best outcome you could expect. There was a murmur of sympathy. Magnus stared around and saw Alec looking a little wild-eyed and everyone else looking concerned. Apparently the crowd they had gathered truly believed in their love.
Aw, man, I'm really sorry, said the mugger. I wouldn't want to mess up anybody's first date with a ninja.
We are leaving now, said Magnus in his best high warlock voice. He was worried that Alexander was planning to fling himself into the path of an oncoming train.
Have fun on your date, boys, said Butterfly Clips, stuffing her card into the pocket of Alec's jeans.
Alec jumped like a startled hare.
Call me if you change your mind about wanting fame and fortune.
Sorry again,
said the former mugger, waving a cheerful goodbye. They left the platform amid a chorus of well-wishers. Alec looked as if he wished only for the sweet release of death. The restaurant was on East 13 and 3rd, near an American Apparel store, and among a row of tired-looking red brick buildings. It was an Ethiopian and Italian fusion restaurant, run by downworlders. It was on the shady, shabby side, so Shadowhunters did not frequent it. Magnus had strongly suspected that Alec would not want to risk any Nephilim seeing them together. He'd also brought many mundane dates there as a way of easing them into his world. The restaurant wanted mundane custom, but in the main the clientele were downworlders, so glamours were used, but fairly minimal. There was a large graffitied dinosaur obscuring the sign. Alec squinted at it, but he followed Magnus inside the restaurant readily enough. The moment Magnus stepped into the restaurant, he realized he'd made a terrible mistake. The second the door closed behind them, a terrible silence fell around the big, low-lit room. There was a crash as one diner, an ifrit with flaming eyebrows, dove behind a table. Magnus looked at Alec and realized what they saw. Even if he wasn't wearing gear, his arms bore runes, and his clothes showed signs that he was wearing weapons. Nephilim. Magnus might as well have walked into a Prohibition-era speakeasy flanked by police officers holding Tommy guns. God, dating sucked.
Magnus Bane, hissed Luigi, the owner, as he scurried over. You brought a shadow under here. Is this a raid, Magnus? I thought we were friends. You could at least give me a heads up.
We're here socially, said Magnus. He held his hands up, palms out. I swear, just to talk and eat. Luigi shook his head.
For you, Magnus, but if he makes any moves towards my other customers...
He gestured at Alec. I won't, said Alec, and cleared his throat. I'm off duty.
Shadowhunters are never off duty, said Luigi darkly,
and dragged them to a table to the remotest part of the restaurant, the corner near the swinging doors that led to the kitchen. A werewolf waiter, with a wooden expression that indicated either boredom or constipation, wandered over.
Hello, my name is Eric, and I will be your server this oh my god, you're a shadowhunter.
Magnus closed his eyes for a pained moment.
We can leave, he told Alec. This may have been a mistake.
But a stubborn light had come into Alec's blue eyes. Despite his porcelain looks, Magnus could see the steel underneath.
No, that's fine. This seems... fine.
You're making me feel very threatened, said Eric the waiter.
He's not doing anything, Magnus snapped.
It's not about what he's doing, it's about how he's making me feel, sniffed Eric.
He slammed down the menus as if they had personally offended him.
I get stress ulcers.
The myth that ulcers are caused by stress was debunked years ago, said Magnus. It's actually some kind of bacteria.
What are the specials? Alec asked.
I can't remember while my emotions are under the strain, said Eric. A shadowhunter killed my uncle.
I never killed anyone's uncle, said Alec.
How would you know? Demanded Eric. When you're about to kill someone, you stop and ask them if they have nephews?
I kill demons, Alec said. Demons don't have nephews.
Magnus knew this to be only technically true. He cleared his throat loudly.
Maybe I should just order for both of us and we can share.
Sure,
said Alec, throwing his menu down.
Do you want a drink?
The waiter asked Alec pointedly, adding sotto voce,
Or do you want to stab someone? If you absolutely have to, maybe you could stab the guy in the corner wearing the red shirt. He tips terribly.
Alec opened and shut his mouth, then opened it again.
Is this a trick question?
Please go, said Magnus. Alec was very quiet. Even after Eric, the annoying waiter, was gone. Magnus was fairly sure he was having a horrifying time and could not blame him. Several of the other customers had left, casting panicked glances over their shoulders as they paid hurriedly. When the food arrived, Alec's eyes widened when he saw Magnus had ordered their kit fu raw. Luigi had put in an effort. There were also luscious tibs, Dora Watt, spicy red onion stew dish, mashed lentils and collards, and all of it laid out atop the thick, spongy Ethiopian bread known as injera. The Italian part of Luigi's heritage was represented by a heap of penne. Alec did make short work of the food, and seemed to know he was supposed to eat with his fingers, without being told. He was a New Yorker, Magnus thought, even if he was a shadow hunter too. This is the best Ethiopian I've ever had. Do you know a lot about food? Alec asked. I mean, obviously you do. Never mind, it was a dumb thing to say. No, it wasn't, Magnus said, frowning. Alec reached for a bite of penne arrabbiata. He immediately began to choke on it, tears streamed from his eyes. Alexander, said Magnus. I'm fine, Alec gasped, looking horrified. He snatched at his piece of bread first, and only realized that it was bread when he tried to dab his eyes with it. He dropped the bread hastily and grabbed his napkin up instead, hiding both streaming eyes and scarlet face. You're obviously not fine, Magnus told him, and tried a very tiny bite of penne. It burned like fire. Alec was still wheezing into his napkin. Magnus made a peremptory gesture for the waiter that might have included a few blue sparks snapping and crackling onto other people's tablecloths. The people eating near them were edging their tables subtly away. This penne is much too arrabbiata, and you did it on purpose, said Magnus when the surly werewolf waiter hove into view.
Werewolf rights, Eric grumped. Crush the vile oppressors.
Nobody has ever won a revolution with pasta, Eric, said Magnus. Now go and get a fresh dish, or I'll tell Luigi on you.
Eric began defiantly.
Magnus narrowed his cat's eyes. Eric met Magnus's gaze and decided not to be a waiter hero.
Of course, my apologies.
What a pill, Magnus remarked loudly.
Yeah,
said Alec, tearing off a new strip of injera.
What have the Shadowhunters ever done to him?
Magnus lifted an eyebrow. Well, he did mention a dead uncle.
Oh, said Alec, right.
He went back to gazing fixedly at the tablecloth.
He's still a total pill, though, Magnus offered.
Alec mumbled something that Magnus could not make out. It was then the door opened and a handsome human man with deep-set green eyes came in. His hands were in the pockets of an expensive suit, and he was surrounded by a group of gorgeous young fairies, male and female. Magnus slunk down in his chair. Richard. Richard was a mortal who the fairies had adopted in the way they did sometimes, especially when the mortals were musical. He was also something else. Magnus cleared his throat.
Quick warning, the guy who just walked in is an ex, he said.
Well, barely an ex, it was very casual, and we parted very amicably. At that moment, Richard caught sight of him. Richard's whole face spasmed, and then he crossed the floor in two steps.
You are scum, Richard hissed. Then he picked up Magnus's glass of wine and dashed it in his face. Get out while you can, he continued to Alec. Never trust a warlock. Let him chant the years from your life and the love from your heart.
Years?
Magnus spluttered. It was barely 20 minutes.
Time means different things to those who are a fairy, said Richard, the pretentious idiot. You wasted the best 20 minutes of my life.
Magnus grabbed hold of his napkin and began to clean off his face. He blinked through the red blurriness at Richard's retreating back and Alec's startled face. All right, he said. It's possible I was mistaken about the amicable parting. He tried to smile suavely, which was difficult with wine in his hair. Ah, well, you know exes. Alec studied the tablecloth. There was art in museums given less attention than this tablecloth.
Not really, he said. You're my first ever date.
This wasn't working. Magnus didn't know why he had thought it might work. He had to get out of this date and not hurt Alec Lightwood's pride too much. He wished he could feel satisfaction that he had a plan in place for this, but as he texted Katerina under the table, what he felt was a sense of enveloping gloom. Magnus sat there silently, waited for Katerina to call, and tried to work out a way to say, no hard feelings, I like you more than any Shadowhunter I've met in more than a century, and I hope you find a nice Shadowhunter boy, if there are any nice Shadowhunter boys besides you.
His phone rang while Magnus was still mentally composing, the sound harsh and the silence between them. Magnus hastily answered. His hands were not entirely steady, and he was afraid for a moment that he would drop the phone as Alec had dropped his glass, but he managed to answer it. Katerina's voice filtered down the line, clear and unexpectedly urgent. Katerina was clearly a method actor.
Magnus, there's an...
An emergency, Katerina? Magnus asked.
That's terrible, what's happened?
An actual emergency happened, Magnus!
Magnus appreciated Katerina's commitment to her role, but wished that she would not shout so loudly right into his ear.
That's so awful, Katerina. I mean, I'm really busy, but I suppose if there are lives at stake, I can't say no...
There are lives at stake, you blithering idiot! Katerina yelled. Bring the Shadowhunter!
Magnus paused.
Katerina, I don't think you fully understand the point of what you're meant to do here.
Are you drunk already, Magnus?
Katerina asked.
Are you off debauching and getting one of the Nephilim who is under 21 drunk?
The only alcohol that's passed my lips is the wine that was thrown in my face, said Magnus, and I was totally blameless in that matter as well.
There was a pause.
Richard?
Said Katerina.
Richard, Magnus confirmed.
Look, never mind him. Listen carefully, Magnus, because I am working and one of my hands is covered in fluid. I'm only going to say this once.
Fluid? Said Magnus. What kind of fluid?
Alec goggled at him.
Only going to say this once, Magnus, Katerina repeated firmly. There is a young werewolf in the beauty bar downtown. She went out on the night of a full moon because she wanted to prove to herself that she could still have a normal life. A vampire called this in, and the vampires are not going to be any help because the vampires never are. The werewolf is changing. She is in an unfamiliar and crowded place, and she will probably lose control and kill somebody. I cannot leave the hospital. Lucian Greymark has his phone off, and the word from the pack is that he is in hospital with a loved one. You are not in hospital. You are out on a stupid date. If you went to the restaurant you told me you were going to, then you are the closest person I know who can help. Will you help? Or will you continue to waste my time?
I'll waste your time another time, darling, said Magnus.
Katerina said, and he could hear the wry smile in her voice.
I bet.
She hung up. Katerina was often too busy to say goodbye. Magnus realized he did not have all that much time himself, but he did waste a moment looking at Alec. Katerina had said to bring the Shadowhunter, but Katerina did not have a great deal to do with Nephilim. Magnus did not want to see Alec cut off some poor girl's head for breaking the law. He did not want someone else to suffer if he made a mistake in judgment. And he didn't want to find himself hating Alec, as he had hated so many of the Nephilim. He also did not want mundanes to be killed.
I'm so sorry about this, he said. It's an emergency.
Alec said, hunching his shoulders. It's okay. I understand.
There's an out-of-control werewolf in a bar near here.
Oh, said Alec.
Something inside Magnus cracked. I have to go and try and get her under control. Will you come help me?
Oh, this is a real emergency, Alec exclaimed, and brightened immeasurably.
For a moment, Magnus felt pleased that a maddened werewolf was ravaging downtown Manhattan, if it made Alec look like that.
I figured it was one of those things where you arranged to have a friend call you so that you could get out of a sucky date.
Ha, said Magnus. I didn't know people did that.
Ha. Alec was already standing up, shrugging his jacket on.
Let's go, Magnus.
Magnus felt a burst of fondness in his chest. It felt like a small explosion, pleasant and startling at the same time. He liked how Alexander said the things that other people thought and never said. He liked how Alec called him Magnus, and not Warlock. He liked how Alec's shoulders moved under his jacket. Sometimes he was shallow. And he was cheered that Alec wanted to come. He'd assumed that Alec might be delighted for the pretext to exit an uncomfortable date, but perhaps he'd read the situation wrong. Magnus threw money down on the table. When Alec made a demurring noise, he grinned.
Please, he said. You have no idea how much I overcharged Nephilim for my services. This is only fair. Let's go.
As they went out the door, they heard the waiter yell,
Werewolf rights!
At their backs. The beauty bar was usually crowded at this time on a Friday night, but the people spilling out of the door were not doing it with the casual air of those who had meandered outside to smoke or hook up. They were lingering under the shining white sign that had Beauty written in spiky red letters and what seemed like a picture of a golden Medusa's head underneath. The whole crowd had the air of people who were desperate to escape,
yet who hovered pinned in place by a horrified fascination. A girl clutched Magnus's sleeve and gazed up at him, her false lashes dusted with silver glitter.
"Don't go in," she whispered. "There's a monster in there."
"I am a monster," Magnus thought, "and monsters are his specialty." He didn't say it. Instead, he said, "I don't believe you," and walked in. He meant it, too. The Shadowhunters, even Alec, might believe Magnus was a monster, but Magnus didn't believe it himself. He taught himself not to believe it, even though his mother, the man he'd called his father, and 1,000 others had told him it was true. Magnus would not believe the girl in there was a monster either, no matter what she might look like, to mundanes and Nephilim. She had a soul, and that meant she could be saved. It was dark in the bar, and contrary to Magnus' expectations, there were still people inside. On a normal night, the beauty bar was a kitschy little place, full of happy people getting manicures from the staff, perched in the chairs that looked like old-fashioned hairdressers' chairs, with massive hairdryers set up on the chair backs, or dancing on the black and white tile floor that suggested a chessboard. Tonight, nobody was dancing, and the chairs were abandoned. Magnus squinted at a stain on the chessboard floor and saw the black and white tiles were smeared with bright red blood. He glanced toward Alec to see if Alec had noticed this too, and found him shifting from foot to foot, obviously nervous.
"You all right?"
"I always do this with Isabel and Jace," said Alec. "And they're not here, and I can't call them."
"Why not?" Magnus asked.
Alec blushed just as Magnus realized what he meant. Alec couldn't call his friends, because he didn't want them to know he was on a date with Magnus. He especially did not want Jace to know. It was not a particularly pleasant thing to think about, but it was Alec's business. It was also true that Magnus certainly didn't want any more Shadowhunters in the mix intent on dealing out their rough justice, but he saw Alec's problem. From what he'd seen of Jace and Alexander's showy sister, he was sure that Alec was used to protecting them, shielding them from their own rash actions, and that meant Alec was used to defending and not attacking.
"You'll do great without them," Magnus encouraged. "I can help you."
Alec looked skeptical about that, which was ridiculous since Magnus could do actual magic, something Shadowhunters liked to forget when they were deep in contemplation of how superior they were. To Alec's credit, though, he nodded and moved forward. Magnus noted, with slight puzzlement, that whenever Magnus tried to edge ahead, Alec put out an arm or moved slightly faster, staying in front of Magnus in a protective stance. The people still in the bar were flattened against the walls as if pinned there, unmoving with terror. Someone was sobbing. There was a low, rattling growl coming from the back lounge of the bar. Alec crept toward the sound, Shadowhunter soft and swift, and Magnus followed. The lounge was decorated with black and white pictures of women from the 1950s, and a disco ball that obviously provided no useful light. There was an empty stage made of boxes and a reading lamp that provided the only real illumination. There were couches in the center of the room, chairs at the back, and shadows all around. There was a shadow moving and growling among all the other shadows. Alec prowled forward, hunting it, and the werewolf gave a growl of challenge. And there was suddenly a slender girl with her hair in long dark coils, trailing ribbons and blood, dashing straight at them. Magnus leaped forward and caught her in his arms before she could distract or be attacked by Alec.
"Don't let him hurt her,"
she screamed, while at the same time Magnus asked, "How badly did she hurt you?" Magnus paused and said, "You may be at somewhat of an impasse. Yes or no questions now. Are you badly hurt?" He took hold of her shoulders gently and looked her over. She had a long, deep scratch all the way up one smooth brown arm. It was welling with blood, falling in fat drops to the floor as they spoke. She was the source of the blood on the floor outside. She glared at him and lied.
"No."
"You're a mundane, aren't you?"
"Yes, or I'm not a werewolf or anything else, if that's what you mean."
"But you know she's a werewolf."
"Yes, dumbass,"
snapped the girl.
"She told me. I know all about it. I don't care, it's my fault. I encourage her to go out."
"I'm not the one encouraging werewolves to go out at the full moon and attack people on the dance floor," Magnus said. "But perhaps we can settle which of us is the dumbass at a better time, when there are not lives at stake." The girl clutched his arm. She could see Alec, visible as Shadowhunters almost never were to the mundanes. She could see his weapons. She was bleeding too much, and yet her fear was all for someone else. Magnus held onto the girl's arm. He would have done better with ingredients and potions, but he sent blue crackling power twining around her arm to soothe the pain and stop the bleeding. When he opened his eyes, he saw the girl's gaze fixed on him, her lips parted and her face wondering. Magnus wondered if she'd even known that there were people who could do magic, that anything but werewolves existed in the world. Over her shoulder, he saw Alec lunge and join battle with the wolf. "One last question," said Magnus, speaking rapidly and softly. "Can you trust me to see your friends safe?" The girl hesitated and then said, "Yes." "Then go wait outside," said Magnus. "Outside the bar, not this room. Go wait outside and clear out everyone you can. Tell people it's a stray dog that wandered in. Give people the excuse they will all want to dismiss this. Tell them that you're not badly hurt. What's your friend's name?" She swallowed.
"Marcy."
"Marcy will want to know you're safe once we got through to her," said Magnus. "Go, for her sake." The girl nodded, a sharp, jerky movement, and then fled from Magnus's grip. He heard her platform heels hitting the tiles as she went. He was able finally to turn back to Alec. He saw teeth flash in the dark, and did not see Alec, because Alec was a blur of motion, rolling away, then coming back at the wolf. "At Marcy," Magnus thought, and at the same time he saw that Alec hadn't forgotten that Marcy was a person, or at least that Magnus had asked him to help her. He wasn't using his seraph blades. He was trying not to hurt someone who had fangs and claws. Magnus did not want Alec to get scratched, and he definitely did not want to risk Alec getting bitten. "Alexander," Magnus called, and realized his mistake when Alec turned his head, and then had to back up hurriedly out of the way of the werewolf's vicious swipe at him. He tucked and rolled, landing in a crouch in front of Magnus. "You have to stay back," he said breathlessly. The werewolf, taking advantage of Alec's distraction, growled and sprang. Magnus threw a ball of blue fire at her, knocking her back and sending her spinning. Some yells rose up from the few people still left in the bar, all of whom were hurrying towards the exits. Magnus didn't care. He knew shadow hunters were meant to protect civilians, but Magnus was emphatically not one. "You have to remember, I'm a warlock." "I know," Alec said, scanning the shadows. "I just want..." He wasn't making any sense, but the next sentence he spoke unfortunately made perfect sense. "I think," he said clearly, "I think you've made her mad." Magnus followed Alec's gaze. The werewolf was back on her feet and was stalking them, her eyes lit with unholy fire. "Those are some excellent observational skills you have there, Alexander." Alec tried to push Magnus back. Magnus caught hold of his black t-shirt and pulled Alec back with him. They moved together slowly over the back lounge. The werewolf's friend had been as good as her word. The bar was empty, a glittering, shadowy playground for the werewolf to stalk them through. Alec surprised Magnus and the werewolf both by breaking away and lunging at Marcy. Whatever he had been planning, it didn't work. This time the werewolf's swipe caught him full in the chest. Alec went flying into a hot pink wall decorated with gold glitter. He hit a mirror, set into the wall and decorated with curling gold fretwork with enough force to crack the glass across. "Oh, stupid shadow hunters," Magnus moaned under his breath. But Alec used his own body hitting the wall as leverage, rebounding off the wall and up, catching a sparkling chandelier and swinging, then dropping down as lightly as a leaping cat and crouching to attack again in one smooth movement. "Stupid, sexy shadow hunters." "Alec," Magnus called. Alec had learned his lesson. He didn't look around or risk getting distracted. Magnus snapped his fingers. A dancing blue flame appeared from them as if he'd snapped on a lighter. That caught Alec's attention. "Alexander, let's do this together." Magnus lifted his hands and cast a web of lucent blue lines from his fingers to baffle the wolf and protect the mundanes. Each of the shimmering strings of light would give off enough of a magical charge to make the wolf hesitate. Alec wove around them, and Magnus wove the light around him at the same time. He was surprised at the ease with which Alec moved with his magic. Almost every other shadow hunter he had known had been a little wary and taken aback. Maybe it was the fact that Magnus had never wished to help and protect in quite this way before, but the combination of Magnus's magic and Alec's strength worked, somehow. The wolf snarled and ducked and whimpered, her world filled with blinding light, and everywhere she went, there Alec was. Magnus kind of knew how the wolf felt. The wolf flagged and whimpered, a line of blue light cutting across her brindle fur, and Alec was on it. His knee pressed into the wolf's flank, and his hand went to his belt. Despite everything, fear flashed cold at Magnus's spine. He could picture the knife, and Alec cutting the werewolf's throat. What Alec drew out was a rope. He wrapped it around the werewolf's neck as he held her pinned down with his body. She struggled and bucked and snarled. Magnus let the lines of magic drop and murmured, the magic words falling from his lips in fading puffs of blue smoke, spells of healing and soothing, illusions of safety and calm.
"Come on, Marcy," Magnus said clearly. "Come on!"
The werewolf shuddered and changed, bones popping and fur flowing away, and in a few long, agonizing moments, Alec found himself with his arms wrapped around a girl dressed only in torn ribbons of a dress. She was very nearly naked. Alec looked more uncomfortable than he had when she was a wolf. He let go quickly, and Marcy slid to a sitting position. Her arms clutched around herself. She was whimpering under her breath. Magnus pulled off his long red leather coat and knelt to wrap it around her. Marcy clutched at the lapels.
"Thank you so much," said Marcy, looking up at Magnus with big, beseeching eyes.
She was a fetching little blonde in human form, which made her giant, angry wolf form seem funnier in retrospect. Then her face tightened with anguish, and nothing seemed funny at all.
"Did I... please... did I hurt anybody?"
"No," said Alec, his voice strong, confident as it only very rarely was. "No. You didn't hurt anyone at all."
"There was someone with me," Marcy began.
"She was scratched," Magnus said, keeping his voice steady and reassuring. "She's fine. I healed her."
"But I hurt her,"
Marcy said, and put her face in her blood-stained hands. Alec reached out and touched Marcy's back, rubbing it gently as if this werewolf stranger was his own sister. "She's fine," he said. "You didn't... I know you didn't want to hurt her. That you didn't want to hurt anyone. You can't help being what you are. You're going to figure it all out." "She forgives you," Magnus told Marcy. But Marcy was looking at Alec.
"Oh my God, you're a shadow hunter," she whispered,
just as Eric the werewolf waiter had, but with fear in her voice instead of scorn.
"What are you going to do to me?"
She shut her eyes.
"No, I'm sorry. You stopped me. If you hadn't been here, whatever you do to me, I deserve it."
"I'm not going to do anything to you," said Alec. And Marcy opened her eyes and looked up into Alec's face. "I meant what I said. I'm not going to tell anyone. I promise." Alec had looked the same when Magnus had spoken of his childhood at the party when they had first met. It was something Magnus hardly ever did, but he had felt spiky and defensive about the advent of all these shadow hunters in his house. A Jocelyn Frey's daughter, Clary, showing up without her mother and with so many questions she deserved answers to. He had not expected to look into a shadow hunter's eyes and see sympathy. Marcy sat up, gathering the coat around her. She looked suddenly dignified, as if she had realized she had rights in this situation, that she was a person, that she was a soul, and that soul had been respected as it should have been.
"Thank you," she said calmly. "Thank you both."
"Marcy,"
said her friend's voice from the door. Marcy looked up.
"Adrian?"
Adrian dashed inside, almost skidding on the tiled floor, and threw herself to the ground and enveloped Marcy in her arms.
"Are you hurt? Show me,"
Marcy whispered into her shoulder.
"It's fine. It's nothing. It's absolutely all right,"
said Adrian, stroking Marcy's hair.
"I'm so sorry,"
said Marcy, cupping Adrian's face. They kissed, heedless of the fact that Alec and Magnus were standing right there. When they broke apart, Adrian rocked Marcy in her arms and whispered,
"We'll figure this out, so it never happens again. We will."
Other people followed Adrian's lead and came in by twos and threes.
"You're pretty snappily dressed for a dog catcher,"
said a man Magnus thought was the bartender. Magnus inclined his head.
"Thank you very much."
More people swirled back in, cautiously at first, and then in far greater numbers. Nobody was asking where exactly the dog had gone. A great many of them seemed to want drinks. Perhaps some of them would ask questions later, when the shock had worn off, and this night's work would become a situation that needed clearing up. But Magnus decided that that was a problem for later.
"That was nice, what you said to her," said Magnus, when the crowd had completely hidden Marcy and Adrian from their sight.
It was nothing," said Alec, shifting and looking embarrassed.
The shadow hunters did not see much to approve of in kindness, Magnus supposed.
"I mean, that's what we're here for, aren't we? Shadowhunters, I mean, we have to help anyone who needs help. we have to protect people. The Nephilim Magnus had known had seemed to believe the Downworlders were created to help them, to be disposed of if they didn't help enough. Magnus looked at Alec. He was sweaty and still breathing a little hard, the scratches on his arms and face healing quickly thanks to the Aratzes on his skin.
I don't think we're going to get a drink in here. There's much too long a line, said Magnus slowly. Let's have a nightcap back in my place.
They walked home. Though it was a long way, it was a nice walk on a summer night, the air warm on Magnus's bare arms and the moon turning the Brooklyn Bridge into a highway of shining white.
I'm really glad your friend called you to help that girl, Alec confessed as they walked. I'm really glad you asked me along. I was surprised you did, after how things were going before.
I was worried you were having a terrible time, Magnus told him. It felt like putting a lot of power in Alec's hands, but Alec was honest with him, and Magnus found himself possessed by the strange impulse to be honest back.
No, said Alec, and went red. That's not it at all. Did I seem... Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, Magnus told him softly. Words seemed to explode out of Alec in a rush, though judging by his expression he wished he could hold them back.
It was my fault. I got everything wrong, even before I showed up. You knew how to order at the restaurant, and I had to stop myself laughing at the song on the subway, and I have no idea what I'm doing, and you're glamorous.
What? Alec looked at Magnus, stricken as if he thought he'd got everything wrong again. Magnus wanted to say, no, I was the one who brought you to a terrible restaurant and treated you like a mundane because I didn't know how to date a shadow hunter and almost bailed on you even though you were brave enough to ask me out in the first place. What Magnus actually ended up saying was, I thought that terrible song was hilarious. And he threw back his head and laughed. He glanced over at Alec and found him laughing too. His whole face changed when he laughed, Magnus thought. Nobody had to be sorry for anything. Not tonight. When they reached Magnus's home, Magnus laid a hand on the front door and swung it open. I lost my keys maybe 15 years ago, Magnus explained. He really should get around to getting more keys cut. He didn't really need them, though, and it had been a long time since there was anyone who wanted to have his keys, to have ready access to his home, because he wanted them there any time they wanted to come. There had been nobody since Etta, half a century ago. Magnus gave Alec a sidelong look as they climbed the rickety stairs. Alec caught the glance, and his breathing quickened. His blue eyes were bright. Alec bit his lower lip, and Magnus stopped walking. It was only a momentary hesitation, but then Alec reached out and caught his arm, fingers tight above his elbow. Magnus, he said in a low voice. Magnus realized that Alec was mirroring the way Magnus had taken hold of Alec's arm on Tuesday, on the day of Alec's first kiss. Magnus's breath caught in his throat. That was apparently all the encouragement Alec needed. He leaned in, expression open and ardent in the darkness of the stairs, in the hush of this moment. Alec's mouth met Magnus's, soft and gentle. Getting his breath back was an impossibility, and no longer a priority. Magnus closed his eyes, and unbidden images came to him. Alec trying not to laugh on the subway. Alec's startled appreciation at the taste of new food. Alec glad not to be ditched. Alec sitting on the floor and telling a werewolf that she could not help what she was. Magnus found himself almost afraid at the thought of what he had nearly done in almost leaving Alec before the evening was over. Leaving Alec was the last thing he wanted to do right now. He pulled in Alec by the belt loops of his jeans, closed all distance between their bodies, and caught Alec's tiny, needful gasp with his mouth. The kiss caught fire, and all he could see behind his closed eyes were gold sparks. All he was aware of was Alec's mouth. Alec's strong, gentle hands that had held down a werewolf and tried not to hurt her. Alec pressing him against the banister, so the rotten wood creaked alarmingly, and Magnus did not even care. Alec here. Alec now. The taste of Alec in his mouth. His hands pushing aside the fabric of his own worn t-shirt to get at Alec's bare skin underneath. It took an embarrassingly long time before they both remembered that Magnus had an apartment, and tumbled toward it without disentangling from each other. Magnus blew the door open without looking at it. The door banged so hard against the wall that Magnus cracked an eye open to check that he had not absent-mindedly made his front door explode. Alec kissed a sweet, careful line down Magnus's neck, starting from just below his ear to the hollow at the base of his throat. The door was fine. Everything was great. Magnus pulled Alec down to the sofa, Alec collapsing bonelessly on top of him. Magnus fastened his lips to Alec's neck. He tasted of sweat and soap and skin, and Magnus bit down, hoping to leave a mark on the pale skin there, wanting to. Alec gave a breathy whimper and pushed his body into the contact. Magnus's hands slid up under Alec's rumpled shirt, learning the shape of Alec's body. He ran his fingers over the swell of Alec's shoulders and down the long, lean curve of his back, feeling the scars of his profession and the wildness of his kisses. Shyly, Alec undid the buttons on Magnus's waistcoat, laying skin bare and slipping inside to touch Magnus's chest, his stomach, and Magnus felt cool silk replaced by warm hands, curious and caressing. He felt Alec's fingers shaking against his skin. Magnus reached up and pressed his hand against Alec's cheek, his brown, bejeweled fingers a contrast to Alec's moon-like pale skin. Alec turned his face into the curve of Magnus's palm and kissed it, and Magnus's heart broke. "Alexander," he murmured, wanting to say more than just Alec, to call him by a name that was longer than and different from the name everybody else called him, a name with weight and value to it. He whispered the name as if making a promise that he would take his time. "Maybe we should wait a second." He pushed Alec just slightly, but Alec took the hint. He took it much further than Magnus had meant it. He scrambled off the sofa and away from Magnus. "Did I, do something wrong?" Alec asked, and his voice was shaking too.
"No," Magnus said, "far from it."
"Are you sending me home?" Magnus held up his hands. "I have no interest in telling you what to do, Alexander. I don't want to persuade you to do anything or convince you not to do anything. I'm just saying you might want to stop and think for a moment, and then you can decide. Whatever you want to decide." Alec looked frustrated. Magnus could sympathize. Then he scrubbed both hands through his hair. It was already a wreck, thanks to Magnus. There was no ruining it any further. It had reached maximum ruination, and paced the floor. He was thinking, Magnus saw, and tried not to wonder what he was thinking of. Jace? Magnus? His family or his duty? Had to be kind to himself? He stopped pacing when he reached Magnus's doorway.
"I should probably go home," said Alec eventually.
"Probably," said Magnus with great regret.
"I don't want to," Alec said.
"I don't want you to," said Magnus. "But if you don't..." Alec nodded quickly.
"Goodbye then,"
he said, and leaned down for a quick kiss. At least Magnus suspected it was supposed to be quick. He wasn't entirely sure what happened after that, but somehow he was wrapped around Alec entirely, and they were on the floor. Alec was gasping and clutching at him, and somebody's hands were on someone else's belt buckle, and Alec kissed Magnus so hard he tasted blood, and Magnus said, "Oh God." And then... And then Alec was back up on his feet, and had hold of the doorframe, as if the air had become a tide that might rush him back to Magnus if he didn't grab at some support. He seemed to be struggling with something, and Magnus wondered whether he was going to ask to stay, after all, or say the whole night had been a mistake. Magnus felt more fear and more anticipation than he was entirely able to play off, and he realized it mattered more than it should so soon. He waited, tense, and Alec said, "Can I see you again?" The words tumbled out in a rush, shy and eager and entirely uncertain of what Magnus would answer, and Magnus felt the headlong rush of adrenaline and excitement that came from the start of a new adventure. "Yes," said Magnus, still lying on the floor. "I'd like that." Said Alec.
"So, next Friday night?"
"Well?" Alec looked instantly worried, so he thought Magnus was going to take it all back and say that actually he had changed his mind. He was beautiful, and hopeful, and hesitant. A heartbreaker who wore his heart on his sleeve. Magnus found himself wanting to show his hand, to take a risk and be vulnerable. He recognized and accepted the strange new feeling, that he would rather be hurt himself than hurt Alec. "Friday night will be fine," Magnus said, and Alec smiled his brilliant, light-up-the-world smile and backed out of the apartment, still looking at Magnus. He backed up all the way to the top of the stairs. There was a yell, but Magnus had already risen and closed the door before he could see Alec fall down the steps, as that was the sort of thing a man had to do in private. He did lean on the windowsill, though, and watch Alec emerge from his building's front door, tall and pale and messy-haired, and walk off down Greenpoint Avenue whistling off-key. And Magnus found himself hoping. He had been taught so many times that hope was foolish, but he could not help it. As heedless as a child straying close to the fire and stubbornly refusing to learn from experience. Maybe this time was different. Maybe this love was different. It felt so different. Surely that had to mean something. Maybe the year to come would be a good year for both of them. Maybe this time things would work out the way Magnus wanted them to. Maybe Alexander Lightwood would not break his heart.
The voicemail of Magnus Bain, High Warlock of Brooklyn, in the days following a certain incident in City of Lost Souls. Today, 2 a.m.
Hi, Magnus. It's Alec. Alexander. Well, you know that. I'm just calling because I think we need to talk. I guess you're busy. Call me back, okay?
Today, 2:10 a.m.
Hi, Magnus. This is Isabel Lightwood. There seems to have been a small misunderstanding. My brother came home under an impression I'm sure is totally mistaken. Call me, or else, and let's get this cleared up. I don't know why I said "or else." We're all friends here.
Today, 2:35 a.m.
Isabel speaking. Maybe there hasn't been a misunderstanding. Maybe you just made a terrible error. That's okay. People make mistakes. All they have to do is grovel and beg for forgiveness, and then all is well. That's how it can be. I'm prepared to let it go this once, Magnus.
Today, 3 a.m.
Isabel, let me just follow up by describing what a big mistake you would be making if you broke up with Alec. The Lightwoods are a seriously hot people. Some people say the Herondales used to be hot, but think about it. Not only do we outnumber them, but we took their last hottie and we made him ours. Obviously, we won the victory. I have looked back on portraits of our ancestors. Gabriel Lightwood was notably smoking. It is rumored that one consul agreed with everything my great-great-aunt Felicia Lightwood ever said, because when she spoke, all he heard was foxy, foxy, foxy. If you break up with Alec, you will not only be losing one stone-cold fox, but a family of foxes. I will pass down the word to my children's children. No Lightwood is ever going to so much as wink at you in a bar. Think about that. Think about being Lightwoodless and lonely 500 years from now in a sad and chilly nightclub on the moon.
Today, 11 a.m.
Hi, it's Alec. I guess you're still busy. Well, that's okay. I know you have a lot of things to do. Just call me back when you're free. Whenever you're free, it doesn't matter what time. I'll be awake. I really want to talk to you.
Today, 2:30 p.m.
Hello, Mr. Bain. This is Hadrian Industries. We're calling to engage your services for a simple ritual in the same vein as the one you performed for us last February. We would like you to bring a crate of horned toads with you. We shall, of course, amply compensate you for the toads.
Today, 6 p.m.
Ow! Ow, stupid cat! You told me, stop calling, Isabel. But I'm not the one calling you. Church is calling you. Mine are merely the fingers that work the phone. See, here's something you may not have known before you committed your recent rash acts. Our cat, Church, and your cat, Chairman Meow, they're in love. I've never seen such love before. I never knew such love could exist in the heart of a cat. Some people say that love between two dude cats is wrong, but I think it's beautiful. Love makes Church happier than I've ever seen him. Nothing makes him happy like Chairman Meow. Not tuna, not shredding centuries-old tapestries. Nothing. Please don't keep these cats apart. Please don't take the joy of love away from Church. Look, this is really just a warning for your own good. If you keep Church and Chairman Meow apart, Church will start to get angry. You wouldn't like Church when he's angry. Beep.
Today, 5:14 p.m.
Hi, Magnus. This is Clary. Nobody told me to make this phone call. Isabel did ask me to call you, but I said no, and she doesn't know I'm making this one. Honestly, when I first met Alec, I thought he was really horrible. Admittedly, I was a little off my game, what with finding out about magic worlds and Mom being kidnapped. That was a bad time. But Alec still was really not my favorite person. He was a jerk, but he wasn't a jerk because he's a bad guy. He was a jerk because he was unhappy, and he felt like he had to pretend to be someone he wasn't. I guess he learned that he had to hide things all the time when he was growing up, that he had to keep secrets or lose people. He's a lot better when he's with you. He's better because he's happier. I don't really know how relationships work. Jace is the only boyfriend I've ever had, and I'm told our relationship has not gone along traditional lines. But I guess that's what a relationship seems like to me. That no matter what else is going on, you're happiest when you're together. I'm not just calling because I'm worried about Alec. You seemed really happy with him, too. I was wondering how you are. I hope you're doing okay.
Today, 8:26 p.m.
Hi, Magnus. This is Alec. Alexander. I guess you don't really want to talk to me. I can understand that. But I really think if we were together, if I could just explain... I'm so bad with words. I'm sorry. But you always seem to know what I meant. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose you. I want to talk to you so badly, but if I can't, I guess I'm calling to say... I'm really sorry. I just called to say that.
Today, 9:39 p.m.
Hi, Magnus. It's Simon. You know me. Well, you called me Soames last time we spoke, but we've hung out. I'm calling to... Sorry if this is out of line. To suggest that you maybe take Alec back? I think it would be good for morale. Honestly, Alec was really horrible to Clary when they first met, and if he turns all cranky again, I don't know what Clary's going to do. In those days, Clary had way fewer weapons and way fewer brothers. This time it's different. Her boyfriend is on fire. She's got enough problems. I guess what I'm saying is that we'd all appreciate it if you took one for the team. Not that I'm part of a Shadow Hunter team. Shadow Hunters don't let vampires join the team. This message probably seems selfish and also crazy. I honestly do feel bad for Alec. He's a good guy. Much less annoying than Jace. I've always felt like, given the opportunity, we could be friends. Maybe bros. Maybe we could be bros who shoot arrows together. It may at this point be obvious that Isabel forced me to make this phone call. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to say. Here's the thing. Alec looks really bad. Ow! Isabel. Oh, I mean, he's looking fine. He's a very handsome guy. Much better looking than Jace, if you ask me. But he's obviously really down. Anyone can see that. I mean, I don't really notice how guys look most of the time, but even I can see it. He has black rings under his eyes, and his sweaters seem to be coming apart with despair. His mom is worried about him because he's not eating, and I heard Jace hinting about hairbrushes yesterday. Of course, for a badass warrior, Jace is kind of prissy. Look, I don't know what happened between you guys, but I know when someone is sorry. I can tell you, whatever he did, Alec is sorry. If you could give him a break, that would be great. Okay, I guess that's it. Oh, please don't ever tell Jace I said he was a badass.
Today, 11:48 p.m.
No, you listen with your not calling back face. You're making a big mistake. I was the best thing that ever happened to you.
Okay, statistically, that's not very likely. A lot of stuff has happened to you. A lot of people have happened to you. I think that was what made me do what I did. I just wanted to know that I wasn't, you know, low down on a long list. I didn't want to be a pretty mediocre footnote in the story of your life. Oh, God. Jace, wake up, Jace. How do you delete messages on someone else's phone?
Today, 8:11 a.m.
Mr. Bane, I am authorized to contact you on behalf of my client. It is my opinion, and I consider it will be the opinion of the judge, that your actions vis-a-vis terminating your relationship with one Alexander Gideon Lightwood Esquire were unlawful. I have in my office witnesses and documentation to prove that you were in fact common law married, and Mr. Lightwood could claim half of your freehold in Brooklyn. All right, fine. It's Isabel again. All right, my lawyer is Church, but I truly believe that we have a case, and Church has never lost a lawsuit. Answer the phone, Magnus.
Today, 10:31 a.m.
Mr. Bane, I am calling to leave a message on an urgent business matter. One of our representatives called about the matter of the Horned Toads delivery. He described your manner of answering the telephone as curt and extremely harsh, and your tone as wild, not to say maddened. Is there a problem with the toads? We are very concerned.
Today, 7:52 p.m.
Listen up, buddy. Nobody breaks up with a Lightwood. Nobody. Meliorn thought that he could tell his fairy buddies over cups of mead that he'd broken up with me. And all I'm saying is that Meliorn hasn't seen his fairy steed in a while. Once, a guy visited the Institute and thought he could leave a Dear Jane letter for me as he walked out the door. Jace found the letter. 10 minutes later, that guy had a broken wrist and a concussion. And then I let Jace at him. This is Isabel, by the way.
Today, 8:01 p.m.
Hello, Bane. Magnus. Greetings, Magnus Bane, High Warlock of Brooklyn, from Maris Lightwood of the New York Institute. Head of the New York Institute. I'm totally the head, and I'm calling on Shadowhunter business. Because I am in charge of all Shadowhunter business. The matter on which I'm calling is a complex one. Too complex to be discussed over the phone. I think, upon consideration, that it would be best if you visited the Institute so we could discuss this in person. Please, do not misunderstand me. This is a professional phone call about a purely business matter. I am simply intent on important Shadowhunter business. You would, naturally, be welcome to stay for tea and social conversation with whatever members of the Institute might happen to be present at the time of your visit. After we conclude our business, of course.
Today, 10:29 p.m.
Greetings to High Warlock Magnus Bane from the New York Werewolf Clan. This is Maya Roberts. Luke would have called, but he's, in the bathroom. What? Shut up! He's been in the bathroom for a really long time, okay? We think it might be food poisoning. He's been in the bathroom for so long that we believe that he is no longer our leader. Anyway, the werewolves would like to visit with you. You know, just one of those friendly werewolf-on-warlock visits. And whoever else happens to show up at the meeting. I just want to state, for the record, that this is stupid and he's never going to buy it.
Today, 1:06 a.m.
I'm outside your door, Magnus. I'm going to break it down. I would have already broken it down if you hadn't put up stupid warlock spells like a stupid warlock cheater. Answer the door right now or I'll kill you. I know you're in there. I know you broke my brother's heart. I'm not going to stand for it. Answer the door right now so I can kill you.
Today, 2:33 a.m.
Greetings, Magnus Bane, High Warlock of Brooklyn, from Raphael Santiago of the New York Vampire Clan, loyal servant of our glorious Queen Maureen, forever may she reign in dark glory, and the future Prince Consort Simon, Babelicious Rock God. We have to begin all our telephone calls in this manner now, including our nightly call to a place called Hot Topic. It would be needless to state after this introduction that I consider myself a damned soul. I am contacting you because our queen wished to send a summons to the shiny man who is Simon's friend. That is a quote. She adds that she supports you and is a fan of much yaoi manga. I have no idea what that means, and I never wish to know. While I am on the telephone, Lily happened to overhear some not terribly interesting conversation at Taki's between several melodramatic teenagers of your acquaintance. Imagine my surprise when I learned that the ill-advised relationship between yourself and an excessively young male shadow hunter has been abruptly and unpleasantly concluded. I wanted to inform you that your esteemed colleague Ragnar Fell now owes me $10 due to a small bet that we made amongst ourselves on the subject of how that absurd liaison would end. Of course, Ragnar will never pay me my $10 because he was murdered by the Nephilim due to a conflict between Nephilim that Downworlders were, for some reason, embroiled in. Just like the conflict we are currently having. So I suppose you could say that Ragnar died for nothing. Shadowhunters, could their new motto be something like, not worth the bother?
Today, 11:23 a.m.
Hi, Magnus. This is Isabel. I'm calling to apologize for attempting to break down your door, for the phone calls and visits that I've been told might have counted as harassment, and for describing you to all your neighbors as a filthy downworlder love weasel. Though I realize some of the things I said might have seemed threatening, of course, as a shadow hunter, I would never inflict physical harm on anyone not engaged in evil, or at least being totally annoying. I feel I was being pretty reasonable the entire time, and playing it pretty cool. But I'm told that from an outside perspective, it looks like I might have slightly lost my head. I admit I do get a bit protective of my big brother. He always protects me. The truth is, I don't have to threaten you with anything worse than you've already done to yourself. Alec is brave, and he's good, and he's loyal, and like all Lightwoods, he has cheekbones you could use to slice salami. You're never going to find anyone as great as my brother, or anyone who loves you as much. He's one of the best things in my life, and I'm prepared to bet he's one of the best things in yours. You're going to be so sorry when you wake up and realize what you threw away. In exchange for my promise to be cool in the future, I'd appreciate it if you deleted